Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
But, you know, we want to go straight to Japan because the president's on his, you know,
his Asian tour. His five-country Asian tour.
In the Pacific. How awesome is that?
Yeah.
You know, the president already has sent to Korea the vice president, Mike Pence. He sent General Mattis. This is the first time the United States president is going to South Korea in 25 years. And right now he's in Japan and he's speaking with Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, who's one of the first leaders to actually arrive to the United States in New York to greet President-elect, which was, it was a little dust-up because this was outside of protocol, but it happened.
But
you know?
The world is recognizing that the leadership, and there's a shift.
Well, times have changed.
Absolutely, and they want to be on the right side of history.
Listen, we want to bring to you today and throughout the coming days all the things that are happening in our nation, and particularly with our president. It's just not getting out, but you're hearing it right here on VFN TV, and we want you to be encouraged. Many, many have prayed for our nation. We've prayed for the leadership of our nation, and God has answered our prayers. And you want to be encouraged. Mm-hmm. You know, he's out there. He's, you know, making deals. It's the 9 months of leadership, Steve. 9 months. The economy and the stock market has broken, you know, new record highs 61 times. Yeah. And the president's doing a great job. You know, he is the pro-life president. Mm-hmm. He is pro-American president, pro-Christian, pro-ministers.
Pro-Israel.
There's a lot of pros here, okay? Well, and he's pro-military.
Yeah.
And so many veterans that, you know, I've spoken to. Steve, you're a veteran. I mean, how encouraging is it to hear from the commander-in-chief and the way that he talks about our military and our servicemen and women?
Well, it's just invigorating. It's just plain invigorating. It just gives you, to me, it's hope. You know, you're talking about people, we've been praying, and so often we don't connect the dots. It's just like, wow, this is an answer to my prayer. And now that you see these things, and it's just unequivocal answer, and it's just hope. And it just really allows you to take that deep breath of excitement.
Absolutely. Well, listen, we're going to join the president at Yokota Air Base in Japan as the commander-in-chief addresses the troops that are stationed there. Watch this.
Okay, everybody. Mr. President, sir, I will tell you that you look great in that suit, but there's something missing. Could I please ask the wing commander of the biggest, baddest, meanest C-130 wing in the Air Force, Colonel Bull Moss, to come out here?
Should I put it on? I like this better. You can have my jacket, just. Thank you, honey. Thank you. Oh, boy, that's something. This is a great group of people. Thank you very much, and General Martinez, everybody, for your devoted leadership of our brave troops right here in Japan. And especially thank you, especially to all of the incredible service members. We're really here today, and we're going to have a good time. And we're going to celebrate your achievements, so I'll issue one of your favorite commands. Are you ready? At ease. At ease. Just sit there. Now have a good time. Just have a good time. Melania and I also want to extend a special thanks to Ambassador Bill Hagerty, who's doing an outstanding job. He's an outstanding person. I know him very well. Believe me, you got one of the great ones. He's leading our American embassy in Tokyo. I'm honored to be here today in this beautiful country, home of the extraordinary people of Japan. Japan is a treasured partner and crucial ally of the United States, and today we thank them for welcoming us and for decades of wonderful friendship between our two nations. Americans have deep respect and admiration for the people of Japan, their amazing culture, their strong spirit, and their very proud history. So on behalf of the United States of America, I send the warmest wishes of the American people to the citizens of this remarkable country. Now I know how you guys feel. This is pretty good. Our travels across Asia will take us to many historic places, to see many wonderful sights, and to speak before many audiences. But there is no single place I'd rather begin my trip than right here with all of you, the incredible men and women of the United States military and your amazing partners, the Japanese Self-Defense Forces. Thank you for being here. Thank you. To everyone here today who serves your country in uniform, thank you, thank you, thank you. We salute you. What's your rank? We're going to raise it. We salute you, we honor you, and we stand proudly with the men and women who defend us and our way of life. Nations are built from the courage, love, and sacrifice of patriots just like you. Each of you inherits the proud legacy of generations of warriors that have walked these very grounds for more than seven decades. From Yokota's runways, American pilots took to the air and drove back the invaders during the Korean War. Tremendous courage, tremendous bravery. From here, they enforced a precious peace during a long and bitter Cold War. And in the aftermath of the devastating 2011 tsunami, this base served as the launching point for Operation Tomodachi, largest humanitarian relief effort in American history, which saved the lives of thousands and thousands of great Japanese citizens. Like those who came before you, you always rise to the occasion, and you never, ever let your country down. General Martinez, General Shirati, General Pascaret, Rear Admiral Fenton, Brigadier General Winkler, Colonel Moss, and Chief Master Sergeant Green, you lead the forces under your command with exceptional skill and devotion, and America is tremendously grateful to you. We're also very fortunate to stand alongside such strong and capable allies. General Mahira, General Asai, General Imaki, and General Ando, thank you for your leadership and service. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. On behalf of the American people, I want each and every one of you, both American and Japanese, to know that your service and commitment helps keep us all safe, strong, and free. I also want to express our gratitude to the family members and loved ones who sacrifice so much to make your service possible. They are absolutely incredible people, and it's not easy. America is profoundly grateful for all you do. And we are back home starting to do, I will tell you, and you're reading and you're seeing really, really well. The stock market is at an all-time high. Unemployment back in the United States is at a 17-year low. Almost 2 million jobs have been added since a very, very special day. It's called Election Day, November 8th. 2 million jobs. It's a lot of jobs. And we've dealt ISIS one brutal defeat after another, and it's about time. It's truly inspiring to see American airmen and Marines and Yeah, I have a great Marine here, General Kelly, 4-star. Did anyone ever hear of General Kelly? Where's General Kelly? He is something. Now he's chief of staff. But he does like those 4 stars, I want to tell you that. But American airmen and the Marines and Japanese self-defense forces, they're standing here with us today, side by side, confident, committed, and more capable than ever. You instill confidence in the hearts of our allies, and you strike fear in the hearts of our enemies. It's the way it should be, isn't it? Our alliance is a testament to the transformative power of freedom. Today, nations that once waged war now stand together as friends and partners in pursuit of a much better world. And we're getting there. We're getting there faster than you think. With your presence here today, shoulder to shoulder, you put hope into every soul that yearns for peace. All of you have made Yokota one of the most capable operational bases in Japan and actually anywhere in the world. For over a decade, this incredible place has been home not only to American service members, but also to the Air Defense Command of the Japanese Air Self-Defense Force. Today, this base serves as a critical center for coordination for American and Japanese commanders to plan their missions. For almost 60 years, the military alliance we see on this base has endured a cornerstone of sovereignty, security, and prosperity for our nations, this region, and indeed the entire world. Today, we pay tribute to that legacy, a legacy you protect and grow each and every day. We dominate the sky. We dominate the sea. We dominate the land and space. Not merely because we have the best equipment, which we do. And by the way, a lot of it's coming in. You saw that budget. That's a lot different than in the past. A lot of beautiful, brand new equipment is coming in. And nobody makes it like they make it in the United States. Nobody. Got a lot of stuff coming. Use it well. But because we have, more important than equipment, we have the best people. Each of you embodies the warrior creed. Your devotion, prowess, and expertise make you the most fearsome fighting force in the history of our world. Together with our allies, America's warriors are prepared to defend our nation using the full range of our unmatched capabilities. No one, no dictator, no regime, and no nation should underestimate ever American resolve. Every once in a while in the past, they underestimated us. It was not pleasant for them, was it? It was not pleasant. We will never yield, never waver, and never falter in defense of our people, our freedom, and our great American flag. That flag stands for the values of our republic, the history of our people, the sacrifice of our heroes and our loyalty to the nation we love. As long as I am president, the service men and women who defend our nation will have the equipment, the resources, and the funding they need to secure our homeland, to respond to our enemies quickly and decisively, and when necessary, to fight, to overpower, and to always, always, always win. Right? This is the heritage of the American Armed Forces, the greatest force for peace and justice the world has ever known. Free nations must be strong nations, and we welcome it when our allies from Europe to Asia renew their commitment to peace through strength. We seek peace and stability for the nations of the world, including those right here in this region, and it's a great region. As Americans celebrate Veterans Day this month, we honor all who have sacrificed to make peace and stability possible. We pay tribute to every proud American who has worn the uniform and served our country. Today, many nations of the Indo-Pacific are thriving because of the sacrifices made by American service members and our allies, and because of the sacrifices all of you continue to make each and every day. Here in Japan, we have seen the amazing things that are possible when a people are free and independent. Over the course of a single lifetime, the Japanese people have built one of the most successful societies and nations in the world. Over the next 10 days, we travel to South Korea, China, Vietnam, and the Philippines. We will seek new opportunities for cooperation and commerce, and we will partner with friends and allies to pursue a free and open Indo-Pacific region. We will seek free, fair, and reciprocal trade. But this future is only within our grasp because of you. You make it possible for peace-loving nations to thrive and for peace-loving people to prosper. You are the reason the great American flag will proudly stand behind me wherever I go. And every time I look at that flag, I will think of brave men and women like you. And I will think of all of the American patriots down through the generations who poured out their blood, sweat, tears, hopes, and dreams to defend our country. When you follow your citizens and people across the Indo-Pacific region, see the flags of free and sovereign states like the United States and Japan displayed during our diplomatic meetings over the next 10 days, be proud of your nation. Be proud of your service and be proud of the security you provide that makes it all possible. Like your predecessors, you, our brave warriors, are the last bulwark against threats to the dreams of people in America and Japan and all across the world. You are the greatest hope for people who desire to live in freedom and harmony, and you are the greatest threat to tyrants and dictators who seek to prey on the innocent. History has proven over and over that the road of the tyrant is a steady march toward poverty, suffering, and servitude. But the path of strong nations and free people, certain of their values and confident in their futures, is a proven path toward prosperity and peace. We cherish our cultures, we embrace our values, and we always fight for what we believe in. Because of you, the people of America, the people of Japan, and the freedom-loving people everywhere are able to fulfill their destinies and follow their dreams. And we are grateful for your families, for their sacrifice and support that allows our brave men and women to serve. We also appreciate the sacrifice of dedicated civilians who keep this base going and take care of our military and their precious loved ones. We are eternally grateful for your service and for your sacrifice, and we are forever in your debt. I am so proud to be here with you today. We face many challenges and many opportunities, and we will face all of them together as a team. And if we do, I am certain that the future for America, for Japan, and for our cherished allies has never, ever looked brighter. Because of patriots like you, freedom will prevail. Thank you. God bless you. God bless the armed forces, and God bless the United States of America. Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you.
We are so grateful for our military and all of the, you know, men and women that serve in our military, Steve, that protect us and keep America safe, but the nations of the world safe. If America's military, think about it, goes down, what happens to the rest of the world? So many nations are depending upon us, and I'm so grateful for this president, this commander-in-chief, and all of those who have served and continue to serve. Listen, we want to take you to a soldier's story. Travis, how many times has this happened? And so many of us don't even know. We go to our jobs, we go to school, we go to work, but we don't know that there's somebody in a uniform, right, who is defending us, who is protecting us, who've left their home, their comfort, to be able to stand watch. I know you have done that, Steve, as a, I can't say former Marine, right, but you've served two tours of duty for us in Iraq, right?
Correct.
Amazing.
I think it's so important because many times we've said on this program, many people are removed from that reality of, like you were saying at the beginning of the program, that freedom is not free. There's a cost to it.
Yeah.
But, you know, out of sight, out of mind, if you don't know what goes into to providing that freedom, you don't have an awareness of the cost.
It's a huge disconnect, right?
Huge, huge. And less than 1% of the American population serves and has served. You look at all of our veterans and all those who are serving, and it's just,
what's that number again? Less than
1% reportedly has served in our forces.
Wow.
And it's just like, we have to just recognize the fact that, yes, we have a nation of 300 million people, but it's just like, there are others that do not think in accordance with the values of America, and that they would love to come across our borders, but it's because of those armed forces and those that serve willingly, they defend our nation.
That's amazing. Listen, we want you to watch Travis's story so you can get a deeper perspective of what happens when, you know, you pay the price for freedom. Watch this.
My job was the military. I loved it, you know, working with soldiers every day and doing my job was like the greatest for me. Coming home to my wife and kid was the best, you know, and I had a really good life mapped out. I was really doing well. Well, people call me a hero, but I'm not sure what part of it makes me a hero. I just had a normal day at work that turned ugly. About 6 seconds, I guess, later, and I woke up. My medic came running up at me.
I need more people over here to put on tourniquets!
In about 20 seconds, he had tourniquets on both legs and both arms. And I guess the last thing I said to my baby girl, am I ever gonna see her again? You know, that was out. I'm getting teared up a little, sorry.
I was really worried about what life was gonna be like afterwards, you know, like with all this.
Do you love your daddy?
him, I'm getting out of here in 10 months. He kept saying, why? You know, what's your big rush? I said, hey, Doc, look behind you. I had pictures of me and my wife and my daughter. I have a family. Like, I live in a hospital bed. Get me out of here. My goal was to let them know I keep working, I keep going hard. If I give up, I'm giving up on my family. Every day is a challenge, but it's not a challenge you can't overcome.
Absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. Travis's story, a quadruple amputee. Mm-hmm. How many survived that?
What Steve? They're saying is five have survived.
Five?
Five people have survived that injury.
Yeah. And quadruple amputee means
all
that
four.
All four limbs
right.
they've lost mm-hmm. or severed in some way. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely amazing. I know that you've served. I know that you, mm-hmm. you know, have some friends, some mm-hmm. fellow brothers that have suffered in the same way to a certain extent.
Not to the same way in regards to being a quadruple amputee, but have suffered injuries as well. And, you know, when I see that and I see Travis sharing his story, to me, it's just like it gives me so much hope. It gives me so much encouragement because so many people get knocked down in such a difficult way and they give up. They have so much despair. They don't know what to do. And to see him now continuing his life, reaching out, encouraging other amputees that they're going through similar difficulties. And it's just, a lot of people don't know that when you choose to, you know, sign your line to that quote unquote dotted line or sign your name to that dotted line and you serve, you understand the full cost that when I go outside of friendly lines, that could happen to me. Yeah. Every single day, you are fully aware that this could be my day and I'm fully accepting that cost.
It's amazing. We have so many brave men and women that serve in our nation's military. And we want to challenge you today. If you know a veteran, you know, just text them, call them, pick up the phone and say thank you. It's probably the best thing that you could ever tell them. Mm-hmm. You know, make a concentrated effort to stop someone that you know that served in the military, shake their hand and tell them we appreciate you. You know, I used to do that with when my sons were small, we would see someone and we just run up to them and shake their hand because you got to give children and people around you perspective because I'm grateful, you know.
Right.
I'm grateful for your service. I'm grateful for so many.
I think what's also important for that too, and especially for our nation, don't just wait for Veterans Day. You know, you don't wait for Valentine's Day to tell someone that you love them. You tell them every day. It's like when you see a veteran, don't just wait until that one day. We want to just express our honor and our respect for them because freedom doesn't come just on Veterans Day. They provide freedom 365 days a year, and we want to be able to express our thanks to them every day.
Amazing. Well, listen, we want to go straight to a banquet that President Trump and the First Lady were able to have in Japan with Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. Mm-hmm. And you're going to hear President Trump really just talk about how this relationship got connected. I mean, they really share a unique friendship as world leaders. And now more than ever with what's happening in North Korea, they are really strengthening these bonds and they're uniting in a way that's really been unprecedented. In fact, watch this.
We have to spend more time together because I have enjoyed every minute of it, even though he's a very, very tough negotiator. And Melania, a real friend of yours now, is Mrs. Abe, and I know you enjoyed it with me. You enjoyed it in Florida, and you enjoyed it here, and maybe even more so. But I want to thank you for the royal welcome. And it was really a very much a working holiday, even on the golf course. So we can call it a couple of days off, but it wasn't. It was full work. Even as we played golf, all we did was talk about different things. We better not go into it. But I have to tell you, we did, and we made a lot of progress on a lot of fronts. I do want to congratulate Mr. Aoki. He was one of the great putters, probably still is. They say you never lose your putting. When you're a great putter, you never lose your putting. But I remember a specific tournament, believe it or not, because it was one of the best I ever saw. It was the greatest putting display that I ever saw. It was you and Jack Nicklaus. Was that the U.S. Open? U.S. Open. And you would get up and sink a 30-footer. He'd get up and sink a 25-footer. And this went on for the whole back nine. And then ultimately, Jack won by one stroke. But that was one of the greatest putting displays anybody has ever seen and there ever was. And I even know your putting stroke, very flat. And I spoke yesterday with the great Matsuyama, who's doing great, right? He's going to be a big star, and he's going to be great. I don't even know if he's with us tonight. I don't think he's with us tonight. But he does want to get together in New York, and we're going to get together. And even though I want to have a great interpreter, but he's rapidly learning the language. But I will tell you that it's an honor to be with you, because everyone in the world of golf talks about that one great afternoon, just putt after putt, and it was really great. So congratulations. So my relationship with Shinzo got off to quite a rocky start, because I never ran for office, and here I am, but I never ran. So I wasn't very experienced. And after I had won, everybody was calling me from all over the world. I never knew we had so many countries. So I was now president-elect, but I didn't know you were supposed to not see world leaders until after you were in office, which was January 20th. So you were just not supposed to, because it was considered bad form. It was not a nice thing to do. And I understand that from the standpoint of the president whose place you were taking. So you can only take so many calls from world leaders. Because Japan, you take. And some others. We took Germany. We took Russia. We took China. We took your prime minister. So it's November, and he said to me, congratulations on your victory. It was a great victory. I would like to see you. I would like to see you as soon as possible. And I said, anytime you want, just come on in. Don't worry about it. But I was referring to after January 20th. So I said, don't worry about it. Anytime you want, I look forward to seeing you. Just give us a call. No problem. Anytime you want. And all of a sudden, I get a call from, actually, Japan Press. And they said that our prime minister is going to New York to meet with the president-elect. So the press is going crazy because the prime minister of Japan is coming to see me. I think it's absolutely fine. But I didn't really mean now. I meant sometime in February, March, or April, meaning you have a very aggressive, very, very aggressive, strong, tough prime minister. That's a good thing, by the way, not a bad thing. So then the New York media started calling me, and I was getting all sorts of signals from Hope and Sarah in a different position and everybody. And they're going crazy. They're saying, you cannot see him. It's so inappropriate. It looks bad. I said, what's wrong? They said, it's a bad thing to see him. You have to wait till after, in all fairness, Barack Obama leaves office. And I said, what do I do? And they said, let's call. So I called him, and he wasn't there. He was on the airplane flying to New York. And I said, you know what? There's no way he's going to land and I'm not seeing him. So I saw him, and it worked out just fine. Do you agree with that? And he actually brought me the most beautiful golf club I've ever seen. It was a driver that's totally gold, right? It's gold. And I looked at it. I said, if I ever use this driver, me, to use that driver at a golf club, I will be laughed off every course I ever go on to. But it is the most beautiful weapon I've ever seen. So I thank you for that. But we had a great meeting. It lasted forever. It was a very long meeting in Trump Tower. And for some reason, from that moment on, we had a really and developed a really great relationship. And here we are today and better than ever. And we're going to work together. And it's going to get more and more special. And we're going to work out problems of Japan and problems of the United States. And it's going to be something very, very special for both countries. And I just want to finish by saying that Melania and I today visited the palace. This is a beautiful, beautiful place. And we met two very beautiful people, the Imperial Majesties, the Emperor and the Empress, and spent a long time talking to them today. And there was a lot of love in that room for all of you people, I can tell you, from everyone from Japan. They love the people of Japan. They love this country dearly. And they have great, great respect for your prime minister. And they truly think that your prime minister did very, very well when he decided to marry, or she decided to marry him, Mrs. Abe. But they have great, great respect, I can tell you that. And I just want to conclude by saying that our two great countries will have incredible friendship and incredible success for many centuries to come. Not years, not decades, but for many centuries to come. And again, it's an honor to have you as my good friend. And I just want to thank you and Mrs. Abe. This is a very, very special 2 days. We will not forget, and we will be back soon. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Hard to imagine that several decades ago, the United States was at war with Japan, and Japan was at war with the United States. Listen, things can come to a resolution. There can be reconciliation. Today we're partnering. We have a beautiful alliance. Mm-hmm. Well, we want to close out today's program in prayer. Steve, would you close us out?
Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, God, in this shift that's happening, not only in America, but also in the world. God, I thank you, Lord, for the strong relationship between Japan and America. And I thank you, Lord, that others are responding. And I thank you, God, for, Lord, this opportunity, Lord, that we're able to respect and honor veterans, God, on Veterans Day. And we recognize, Lord, that freedom is not free, that there is a cost. God, we don't wait just for one day, God, that we just honor and thank you, Lord, for all of those, God, that are defending America 365 days a year. And Lord, we ask you, God, that you would just end abortion, that you would send revival and send a third great awakening, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.